Hey everyone, how are you all doing today? My name is Jordan McCracken Foster and I'm a teaching artist here at Art Prof. And I'm here today with Art Prof teaching artist Deepti Menon and, as you all know, Clara Liu. And we are talking about, does age matter as a visual artist? And so if you want to make your artistic weakness your strength, then definitely check out our website, artprof.org, where we have lots of free tutorials and critiques and everything you need to develop as an artist. So Clara, can you tell us a little bit about this 30 under 30 Forbes list that we have here and how this applies to our conversation today?
This list is very well known. It comes out every single year. And basically they name 30 people who are under the age of 30 who have had smashing success in all different areas. It's designers and artists, business people, journalists, pretty much across the board. And I know for a lot of people who are over the age of 30, it's an infuriating list because it's all about being obsessed with youth and people doing things early in their careers. And to older people, it does feel like we're not being recognized for things just because we did them a few years past the age of 30 or much later than that. And Deepti, you've had friends, people you went to school with who are on this list. What's your perception of it?
It's really interesting because part of me wants to feel really like happy and proud for them. And I do, you know, it is a huge honor to be on this list amongst really cool people. But as someone who is, you know, their peer and someone that went to school with them, it does sometimes feel like an unnecessary way of comparing yourself, which as an artist, I really try not to do because we're all from such different backgrounds and different privileges. But it is just a really concrete, kind of annoying way to look at other people who are exactly your age and all that they've accomplished and what like playing field they're on and then where you're at. So it does feel a little bit unnecessary. And sometimes I just try not to look at it and just applaud my friends who are on it and be like, good job, but not read too much into it. Jordan, what's your take on the Forbes 30 under 30 list?
I just feel like it's really intimidating. And I get why, you know, some of these things should be celebrated because these people are accomplishing great things at such an early age. But for the rest of us, even if we're doing well, I always get the feeling like, oh, I could always push more and do more. And if I'm already on, if my gas tank's already on E, then I don't know what else to do. And it's always kind of tough in that way.
Yeah, we have this comment from Neil Espinoza saying, the stream would be helpful. Every time I take a break, I get so anxious about my productivity. I feel like I'm wasting my time. And I think that's really interesting in terms of being compared to other people your age. Because if you're taking a break, which I think all artists need and is good for your mental health, it is hard to see these things like Forbes 30 under 30 come out and be like, oh my gosh, I just took a month off. What am I doing? I'm 1 month closer to 30 and not getting on this list. Clara, do you feel that way just regardless of the list and productivity and taking breaks?
I don't, because I have passed caring about stuff like that. And I know that I do not work well if I'm sleep deprived or feeling crummy and not taking care of myself. So I have definitely learned that lesson 20 times over. But what I do see, especially with students who I'm working with or students who have graduated recently, is they will say things to me like, oh my goodness, I'm so behind everybody else. And I'm like, what race do you think you're running? There's no race. And the thing is, stuff like this makes you feel like there is a race, like there's a deadline. Like, Jordan, if you don't get on this list in 4 years, you're just not as valid as everybody. Mm-hmm. You still have 4 years, right?
Yeah, a couple of years, yeah.
And then I think to talk about people who have had smashing success at an early age, that's also really frustrating. Like, for example, Kara Walker, who is a brilliant artist and does really wonderful, important work, she won a MacArthur grant when she was 28. If you don't know what a MacArthur grant is, it's a grant they give out every single year. And you cannot apply for it. You have to be nominated by somebody else in the field to win it. And when you win it, you win $625,000, no strings attached. She won when she was 28. They give it to a very broad range of different people. You have to be an artist. You could be a scientist or something like that. But like, Deepti, how does that make you feel when you read about these people that do this when they're 28?
I mean, good for you, Kerouac. I love your work, and I do think you're very, very talented. But wow, that's so much money. I mean, it just makes me think of all the ways that my life would be easier if I was given this much money, you know, to just focus on my work. But it also is, like you said, a little difficult to stomach the fact that it's not, it's just like within the industry that you get nominated and are given. It feels kind of like this exclusive club that I'm not invited to. And that kind of hurts. Jordan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I like what you said about it being an exclusive club. And I feel like that's something that's really difficult to deal with, especially when we're all supposed to be helping each other and building each other up. And when you put up these little invisible barriers, I think it actually injures a lot of people. It makes them feel like, oh, I can never achieve this. I can't accomplish this. And I think that could overall be very, very damaging to someone who's really doing their best. And maybe they don't have access to a lot of the stuff that some of these artists, some of these scientists have.
Yeah, W315 says that must have been some networking magic to get someone to nominate you. But it's true, Clara. Don't you think that sometimes when you get to a certain point, or it's all about who you know, and sometimes you don't have access to that. I feel like having gone to this amazing school, I know a ton of great people, but not everyone has access to that. And you can't expect, I don't know, Clara, thoughts on networking and this kind of club that you have to be in to get these things?
I mean, networking is part of being an artist. There's no way you can have a career and not have help from other people. Nobody starts a career entirely by themselves. You need that support. Now, who has access to that support is incredibly unequal. And you look at somebody like Jordan Castile, another example of somebody who had smashing success, okay? She's the quintessential Yale MFA success story. She graduated in 2014, had a debut solo exhibition in New York City at Sargent's Daughters, which is a very prestigious gallery, the same year she got her degree. And now she is hot stuff on the New York City art scene. And the thing is, it's like, sometimes it just feels like these people live in another universe. It's like, how do I even become part of this place? So for example, we have this comment here: to be nominated by someone else is beautiful. Where's the negativity? Okay, so let's talk about that, Jordan, because I think people have very different emotions attached to these types of things with age. So we're talking about people who have done extremely well. And I am such a jealous person. I'm the first person to be like, oh, that's so annoying. Mm-hmm. But what about somebody like Grandma Moses, who started painting when she was 78? What do you think when you look at somebody like that?
I just think, well, first off, the fact that she started this late and was able to build something, even the final days of her life, I think that's really amazing. And I think it kind of, I think when we discuss whether it's, you know, age matters, you have to look at it from the perspective of, is it about the grants? Is it about building some sort of notoriety? Or is it about excelling at your craft and learning and trying to make some sort of impact? And I think for someone like Grandma Moses, who started so late, that it's even hammering in the message that, no, you don't have to be under 30 to accomplish these great things.
Blue Will Spirit is saying, peaking early has its problems too. What do you do next? What hill is left to climb? Well, that's a great point. Like Deepti, these New York City superstar people shot to success at this mega gallery. Have you seen people who just disappeared after that, or heard about cautionary tales like that?
Yeah, definitely. Because you're also just kind of pushed into this world that sometimes you're not prepared for. And I love this comment over here from W315 that says, I tell myself I needed time to develop emotional maturity and wisdom in order to make honest work. And I think that also sometimes goes hand in hand with the environment of being pushed into this crazy whirlwind New York City's gallery thing, because it is sometimes really overwhelming. And then all of a sudden the expectations are so much higher. And then are you making honest work anymore? Or are you making work to impress this new world that you're suddenly in. And I have seen a lot of people's work change and not be as interesting because suddenly they're making work for the public eye more so than what's honest and interesting to themselves. Jordan, have you witnessed anything like this?
Yeah, I forget who said this, but I know I saw a quote the other day that basically said, whenever you hit a certain level of success, you're almost enslaved to that success and you're just striving to break that barrier even more. And I know a lot of people struggle with that, whether you're a musician, whether you're an artist, you know, sports figure, whatever the case may be. And there's almost an expectation that an artist puts on themselves to break past that. And that can be very, very difficult, especially if it, you know, even if it's good, it's never as good as the first thing. That's tough. That's really, really tough.
We have this comment from Tom who's saying, being a success at 30 puts a ton of expectation and pressure to live up to and go beyond what you've done. Yep. So I think for sure, as Adira is saying, sometimes success, especially meteoric success, is a curse. So maybe being on that list isn't such a great thing. And I'll tell you guys, I look back at the work I was doing when I was 25, and let's just say I did hit meteoric success. I do not feel good about that work now. And if I feel like that is the work I got the most recognition for, that would make me feel terrible because the work I'm doing now feels so much more engaging and much more alive than I was doing at that point. So there's definitely that. Now, another thing I want to talk about is the physical nature of being an artist, because you hear these stories about Degas was going blind towards the end of his life, and yet he started doing sculpture when that happened. Matisse was making those paper cutout collages because he was also going blind. And Deepti, I've always been so happy that, unlike a professional athlete, I don't have to retire when I'm 40. Don't you think that's remarkable about our field?
It is. And I also think that, like, there is some physicality to it. And if you're like a sculptor, you might not be able to have the same range of movement when you're 70 than you did when you were 25. But I think it's so wonderful that it really has a lot to do with our vision and what's going on in here and the passion that we have for our craft rather than, like you said, an athlete and like really needing to excel. And I don't think that talent and age go hand in hand. Like, I really think sometimes it has nothing to do with one another. It can, but I do think you can enjoy this thing later in life and be super talented and just work amongst the 25-year-olds too. And it all just melds really well together. Jordan, have you ever had an instance where you feel though that a 25-year-old might have an advantage over like a 65-year-old in a specific industry or type of job?
Yeah, well, there's not specific to art, but there has been several situations where I've seen certain people who are young, they have fresh ideas, they know the new technology and, you know, all these different things that we kind of group together in someone who's young, and they would have advantage over someone who's older simply because, you know, maybe it's more difficult for them. Like, I remember trying to teach my aunt how to use the internet, and she was like 65, and it's tough, you know, and if you don't know how to describe it and understand it, it can be challenging. And so some people don't want to take that time to teach someone to do those things.
Yeah. And I think this comment from Cerulean is kind of sums it up. Sometimes the industry is looking for the next new big thing, and someone in their 40s or 50s doesn't mesh with this concept, says stereotype. And often that's just a preconceived notion. Like, if you're just over this age, you just don't get it, and people don't even get a chance. It's rare. I don't see it all the time, but I do think that is something that lives in the industry at times.
Yeah. I think the gap in technology, it's pretty dramatic. I mean, I think maybe it was Lauren, who's about the same age as you guys, said to me, yeah, I don't get what the college kids are doing now with social media. I'm like, Lauren, they're like less than 10 years older than you, and you're telling me you feel the generational gap? And so I think with technology, for sure, like, Jordan, you're always on the next Procreate update and all the tech stuff, and you always know how to talk to people about Zendix. I can't do that. And if I wanted to, it would take a lot of work for me to learn all that stuff. So I think definitely the technology can be a major problem for a lot of people for whom it's not so intuitive. Like, you didn't grow up with an iPad or something like that. Now, what about this idea of where you are in life? Because you guys are under the age of 30, you don't have two kids to support and all that stuff. How does that factor in? Because when you're 25, your financial situation is not the same as when you're 50. Jordan, what do you think about that?
Well, I hate to say it like this, but I feel like I have a sense of freedom in a sense, because I feel like all the decisions I make, I can take risks. I can take much bigger risks. And when I don't have people depending on me the same way, I feel like, you know what, I'm going to try this thing and let's see if this works. If it doesn't, then I'll move on to the next thing. And I feel like, especially at this stage where I'm still, you know, just starting out, I'm just fresh out of school, that's really a good move for someone in my shoes, because there's so much out there in life that I don't know. And there's so much I still need to learn. And I find that really, really exciting. I don't know, Deepthi, what do you think about the opportunities that are going to come in the future?
I mean, it does, when you are in your early 20s or mid 20s, you do kind of have this, the world is my oyster or worldview, and you are still young. And even the way society portrays you is that, oh, she's young, she'll figure it out, which is true. And like, in living in the US, I can be on my parents' health insurance if that's an option for me until I'm 26. Like, there are all of these just technicalities that help you in life until you're a certain age. But I do think about, if I was a school teacher and I had maybe $10,000 in my savings, and at 35, I decided I wanted to pursue art, that would kind of add fuel under my butt a little bit to figure things out quicker, because then I'd have to get health insurance. Maybe I have kids to feed. Maybe I have rent. Maybe I have a car payment. You know, there's all these responsibilities that you have all of a sudden. I don't know, Claire, what's your take on the kind of privilege that maybe Jordan and I have being young that you maybe don't have?
I mean, I'll admit, I get a little jealous when you guys just jet off to Iceland and it's cool. I can't really do that most of the time. But you know something? I've gotten to the point where I'm like, I love being older. It's awesome. Because you know what's the best part about being older? And those of you who are, quote, older in the OF, old farts category, can tell me the best part about getting older, you just stop caring about stuff. You're just like, all those things I used to stress about in my 20s, I'm like, I don't care. It does not matter anymore.
We have this comment from Ra Nuxing. Is there an age after which we must stop taking risks? Jordan, what are your thoughts on this?
I would say no. I think that life is about taking risks, and that's how you learn, whether it's big or small. If you go to a certain place, if you live a certain way or whatever, you're taking a risk in the decisions you're going to make for your life, and those are going to have certain outcomes. So I think you definitely need to be smart about what risks you take, the more responsibilities you have. Like Clara mentioned a second ago, you can't just jet off to Iceland if you got kids to support and not leave a note and stuff. There's certain things you just shouldn't and can't do. But I would say you definitely want to continue to take educated risks, if you will. That's what I would say.
Yeah, and I don't think it would be good for me. I mean, I'm past 40 to say, oh, I'm experienced enough, I don't need to try anything new. I think that would be a big bummer if I looked at my work that way. So I'm always trying to think about those risks.
We have this comment from Judita. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, but they say, as I get older, even if I don't have that much time to materially practice art, I absorb so much more about the world and other people's art that my art automatically improves. I think this is a nice comment, because I do think that when you're young and you're in art school, sometimes you're so self-absorbed and egotistical that you focus so much on your own work and making work and churning things out, which I think is great. And I think practice is awesome. But I do feel that as I've grown older, I've taken more time to just like observe other people's art and observe the world and focus on other hobbies of mine. And that affects my art. Jordan, do you feel like maybe now that you're out of school, you've had some time to pause and focus on things that aren't like your thesis? And is that helping your work at all?
You know, it's funny. I always am focusing on my thesis, but I don't do it in the same way that I did when I was students. So what I'll do is I'll just watch movies, for example, and I'll learn some of these techniques that these directors and writers are using. And I'll say, oh, that's really cool how they spun that and how they wrote that and how this character arc develops. And I use that, I put that in the back of my mind for something that I could be developing now or in the future. And I personally love that. And I like what you said a second ago, Deepti, about just taking a breath taking a pause to learn about other things, because I think naturally we're all, for the most part, pretty selfish. We do only think about ourselves, and you have to unlearn a lot of that. And so taking that minute to just say, I'm going to read this book about something that I don't know anything about. I'm going to watch this film and look at it through a different lens. I think that's all contributing to growing as an artist and as a person overall.
Oops, sorry, here we go. I was trying to click on big hens. They are saying the older you are, the less traditional route you are likely to take towards being an artist, never mind becoming a professional artist. This is such a great comment, because I definitely work with students who in high school decide, I want to be an illustrator. They major in illustration. They get their freelance illustration gigs, and that's it. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. I mean, if you are really focused and you know that's what you want to do. But you know what? Some of my favorite artists were people for whom what they got famous for was a second act. I mean, Vera Wang, who's synonymous with bridal design, she did not start doing that until she was in her 40s. And then somebody like Leah Leone, who was a very famous children's book illustrator, he was a graphic designer for several decades. And I think that's the coolest thing. And I'm sort of doing something similar with Art Prof. Art Prof is my second act. And I don't know if I'd had smashing success with the New York City galleries when I was 20, if I would have ever done this. And so one thing that helps me is I have definitely thought about this phrase that one of my mentors says. He says, there are many ways to be an artist. And I love that, because I don't like feeling boxed in that there's only one way.
Neil Espinoza is asking, what about the concept of waiting? My parents once told me that I should have a job first before doing art, but I convinced them that it's possible to make a living as an artist and I can start now. Am I wrong for that or immature for thinking this? What are your thoughts, Jordan?
I think if you want to be an artist and you want to make that a career, then I think at any point you should just start making the moves for that, whether it's just growing in skills so that when you get out of high school or college, you can get a job, or if that just means doing research on what companies or studios you want to work for. I don't think it's ever too early. And I think that it goes back to what we were saying about taking risks. Being an artist to an extent is a risk. There's certain things you have to look out for. There's certain things you have to learn and certain things that just come up as a part of the job description. But there's also a bit of a risk in not becoming an artist if you want to, because there might be this kind of hole that's not filled because that's not what you're doing for your career and that's what you want to do. So I say go for it. And I don't think it's an immature thought at all, as long as you prepare for it.
I really like, there's so many great comments here, people sharing stories about their own experience. Albert is saying, I think starting an art career later on life coming from a non-art background helps to forge paths of innovation. I'll tell you guys, when I was 19 in art school, I did not have a lot to say. Like, just nothing had happened to me at that point in my life. I was not a very interesting person. And so I think for sure, when you have these different experiences, like AJ is saying, I returned back to art at 25. My approach was different compared to when I was 16. And Citrin is saying, left a career as an architect to go back to Art Center at 40 to paint with no outside financial support. And Juliana says, I had a gap of 12 years, so never is too late, I think. There's no correct version of when you should or should not start or stop and start up again. I mean, it really is so much a case-by-case basis. Well, I want to switch gears and talk about situations where being older can be problematic, actually, because that is the reality, I think, of some of these industries. And one of them is if you want to teach in academia. I'm sorry to say this, but if you want to become a full-time professor, you expire basically when you turn 35. Deepti, how does that make you feel when you hear about things like that?
Not great, to be honest. Like, it feels awful, because 35, in my opinion, is very young. And you're, especially as an artist, you spend so much time just figuring things out. So it does feel not great to also think that that removes so many people who may have fallen into art at 40 and might be brilliant teachers and really have a lot to say, but they just aren't given the same opportunities as other people. But Claire, I know you have a lot of opinions and experience as a teacher. What are your thoughts on this? I'm actually really curious.
Well, I'm not trying to say this is across the board. People certainly do get hired full-time in their 50s, in their 60s, but it is definitely the exception. It is not the norm. And what really cemented it for me is once I started to get past the age of 35, which I'm well past now, is I was looking at the people that they were hiring, and they were all under the age of 30, and their resumes were a page and a half, and mine was seven. And I was just like, I don't think I'm that much worse than these other candidates. And so that is very frustrating to feel that that's the way things are and you can't do anything about it.
Just wanted to give a huge shout out to Simple Triscoll for this. Thank you so much for this. It really helps us out. Thank you. Thank you.
So Jordan, I'm wondering for you, are you worried about getting stuff done by a certain age? Because I'm past that point. I'm just like, whatever, I'll take it. But you and Deep D are in a really, I think, critical point in your lives in that you're not at the point where you can say, oh, my ship has sailed. I have definitely said that about academia and a couple of other things, but that's not the case for you guys. Does that stress you out or is that exciting?
Both. I would say it's a little bit more excitement because I feel now that I've finished grad school and now I'm just shooting forward and I can go on with what I want to do. There's so many things that can happen. I don't know the outcome of all the decisions I'm going to make. And that part of that is, makes me a little nervous, but there's also, it's just like the sky's the limit. And I really like the idea of saying I can forge my own path now. And again, who knows? I really can't word any differently than that. I'm just excited. I don't know, DT, what do you think?
I also have that same level of excitement. I do think the pandemic has turned me into a bit of a cynical person though. And I'm a little bit more like, oh no, 30 is so soon. And it's hard, but I think finances have a lot to do with it. A lot of what I see is the difference between starting at maybe 40 or starting when you go to art school is just, I feel so like as a freelancer also just like, okay, I really need to get my stuff together soon. And we have this comment from Blue Wolf Spirit that says people who have retired already have an established income and are much more free to focus on art, just coming at it from a different angle. And I do agree that that is, you know, one pro for maybe starting later. And I've said this before, but you know, if you go to undergrad for art school and you come out and you have bunch of loans and then you're trying to do what you love, but you're also trying to pay off your loan. There's a lot of things in that bag that you have to take care of. Whereas if you work in IT or you work in the tech industry until you're 45 and then you retire and you pursue art, you can maybe have a much more calm approach to that journey. I don't know, Clara, what are your thoughts on that? I know you didn't have that journey, but what if you worked in IT and just now you started Art Prof and you had like 200K, I don't know how much someone who works in IT, but let's say you started a big startup in Silicon Valley and you sold it for $1 million. So let's dream here.
That's what I should have done, Deep D. That would have been a much better business plan. Well, but I do want to emphasize what Blue Wolf Spirit had said about the established income, because it's true, usually you hope when you get older, you're not as financially unstable as you are when you're 21. I certainly am. That's not the case for everybody, but that is something that people try to do. And one thing that I do is I oftentimes look at you guys and college students and I'm like, I'm so glad I don't have to date anymore. Like, it's so much work and time and emotions. And I'm like, that I'm married. I don't have to deal with that. Like, I think that's fabulous.
But you do have to deal with your kids, which I don't have any of. I have my cat, but that's much less work, I would say, than two kids. I also just want to shout out Tom G. Thank you so much. And Art Prof is ageless. Thank you for saying that. We're here for everyone, regardless of their age. Thank you for that, Tom.
And we also have a super chat from Simple Triskel, who says, thank you for this. There are a million paths and ways to be an artist, and Art Prof has helped me explore a lot of them. Thank you so much for your support, you guys. We greatly appreciate that. It means so much to us when you guys help us out. So this is a really great example of another older artist, who is Louise Bourgeois. And you guys should look her up because she's such an amazing artist and she is incredibly prolific. I mean, in the beginning, she was doing these more like organic sculptures, but then later in life, she's doing these huge spider installations. And I'm like, oh man, when I was 25, I was not thinking like that. Are you thinking about big spiders, Jordan? I don't know.
No. As much as I love Spider-Man, I'm not thinking about giant spiders. That's not in my schedule. But I do like the freedom that she has as she's working. You know, like who just think? I just wouldn't think to do a giant spider and think that it would be something that I would find super interesting and that other people would find super interesting. I like how she's just taking those risks, and I think it kind of goes to what Blue Wolf Spirit was saying, that freedom after retirement. Just, and I don't know when she made this, but there is something there that just that mental freedom, I think, is what is freeing up a lot of artists to make those decisions to do whatever they want to do. What do you think about that sort of thing, Deep D?
It's interesting because I feel like a lot of the reason I wouldn't make a giant spider, because I think I might make a giant spider. You know what my work looks like, so that would be cool for me. I think that's in my head for sure. But I don't think I would work on that scale, just because how would I don't even know if someone commissioned me to make a giant spider. I don't even know how I would do it. I just don't have the resources. I don't know where I would make a giant. But as I would get older, I'm sure I would make connections and network with people who could show me that, or I would just kind of have this mentality of being like, I'll figure it out. Whereas right now I'm just like, okay, well, that's really stressful. I'm just going to stay to my small scale spider. But then again, I'm thinking back to that networking and the MacArthur Genius Grant. I do think that I'm privileged because if you start at a younger age, you do network with a lot more people at a younger age. So maybe you would get nominated for something like that. And I think that's why it might be frustrating to someone who started off at 40 and all of their friends are not artists, or they have a smaller community of artists who could nominate them for something like that. So I don't think the nomination part is, you know, upsetting, but I do think the fact that maybe it's such a little insular club where you can only get nominated if you're in the club, and that maybe takes a lot of people out of the running just because they haven't had time and experience to be with that club. But now that I'm looking at Louise's work, I'm like, maybe I'm gonna be more bold and I'm gonna go make a giant spider after this stream. I'll make a giant cat, so I'll be a little bit more original.
And I will say, you guys, I do think because of the internet, it's really leveled the playing field a lot. There's so many things that people don't have to wait for other people's approval for anymore. The fact that you can make a website and put your work out there and not ask for anybody's opinion. I mean, like, Jordan, when you think back to print media and before the internet, I'm like, how did anybody get their work out? Like, I have no idea how that happened. I mean, don't you think the internet is a total game changer for everyone?
I would imagine it is, but I've lived my entire life with the internet, so I don't know if I'm the best person to ask, because I don't know what life is like without it. But I do often hear interviews from artists that I admire in the industry, and they talk about the struggles that they had about having to send a physical copy of an art test, or having to, you know, having to find their phone number on the back of a comic book, you know, all the way down the bottom of the barrel type of stuff. So I know it was really difficult.
I just love this comment we have from Rodri, and we've had so many of these, but this one, it just says, I'm 43 with a PhD in biology. I just left my career to become an illustration student, and I'm loving every second of it. I just love that. Like, that's so great to see someone who has this whole career. And it makes me actually think of Steven Hillenburg, who's the creator of SpongeBob, who I think had Jordan, you might know him better than me, but had a whole undergrad degree in biology and worked as a biology teacher and all of this, and then created one of the most iconic shows ever.
Yeah, he was a marine biologist.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the coolest thing, because you know something? I meet a lot of artists now, because I do lectures and stuff like that, who for whom art is a second act. And actually, I did have this one friend who was a physics professor for many decades, had a whole career in the sciences. And they said to me, well, I don't know if I should put my physics degree on my resume as an artist. I'm like, are you kidding? That makes you so freaking cool. Like, totally put down that you were a physics professor, because I just think that's brilliant to see how well-rounded people are. Like, this idea that you should be only art and only artist and read art books, like, I think that's so bad. I think that you got the whole world out there. Why not mine from it as much as you possibly can? We have an Art Prof Share today. Art Prof Share is where one of you makes an artwork in response to one of our videos. So today, our Art Prof Share is from Spreeha. Sorry, I don't know how to say your name, Spreeha. But Spreeha is in high school, and they are trying to understand art better from following the drawing tutorials. And this is a really cool comment. They're saying, I can see now how beautiful and spiritual it is to look at certain arts. Also, my sense of awe has grown so much more. And so Spreeha says that they're figuring out still life, figure drawing is something they're really passionate about, and the photo references are really useful for their work. So Deepti, how do you think Spreeha did? This is actually from one of our earlier draw along tutorials.
I think you've done a wonderful job. I love the energy and looseness of your mark making. You're really focusing on major masses rather than the outline of the shape and lighting and how light affects this incredibly muscular body. So I think that you're doing a really great job. And I love the comment of this awe and spiritualness. I think that's lovely, because nothing matters if you're not having fun doing it, in my opinion. When it comes to art, you should be having fun and having this moment of awe, especially when you're learning and trying to grow. So I think it's awesome, and you're doing a really great job. What do you think, Jordan?
I think the thing that's really sticking out to me is this sense of raw emotion that comes out of it. Because when I see this pose, or when I see the figure, especially the reference, you know, I think big, strong, maybe even intimidating on some level. And I think you've captured that really, really well. And when I see the figure with the amount of volume that you've given in the back and the arm muscles and everything like that, it just feels, I just feel that presence. And so I think that is done really, really well.
I love seeing these comments from people on Spreeha's work. Adira is saying, wow, that's awesome. Simple Triskel is saying, beautiful, loose gesture drawing there. Yeah, what I think is really great about Spreeha's drawing is that it's mostly tone. And I feel like for a lot of people, when they first start figure drawing, line is the more obvious answer because you're trying to figure out the shapes and the contour of the figure. But when I look at this, there's very little line involved. And so I think for that reason, I respond to it as a very sculptural piece. Like, it really feels like a figure that was chiseled out of form as opposed to one that was just traced. And so to me, there's already this three-dimensional quality that I think is really, really nicely done. So if you guys have created an artwork in response to one of our videos, just go to artprof.org, click on tutorials, and we have a purple button that will take you to the Art Prof Share submission form. You can submit your work and be considered for a shout out here on one of our YouTube videos. And you can also tag us on Instagram. Just do hashtag Art Prof Share. We love sharing what you guys are making in our Instagram stories. And remember, Art Prof has a podcast available on Spotify and also on iTunes. We will be hanging out, me, Jordan, and Deepti, in the Art Prof Discord in the post live streams channel in a couple of minutes. Please join us. The invite link is in the video description below. And subscribe to our YouTube channel and join the Art Prof family. And thank you so much to our top Patreon supporters. Thank you to everybody. Such great comments in today's stream, people sharing their stories, their personal experiences. It's such a great way for us to really get a sense of what's actually out there, as opposed to the Forbes 30 under 30 list. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next time. Bye.